grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who brings great blessings and pleasure and joy to us. Amen. I want to talk about the Old Testament reading today, the wonderful story of Jonah the prophet. We pray as we continue to hear the Word of God. Let's pray. Lord, open our ears that we hear and our hearts that we believe, our minds that we ever meditate and ponder your great love for us. Richly bless the teaching, the preaching, the hearing, the receiving, the believing of your holy word. For you, Lord, and you alone truly have the words of eternal life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do I get a second chance? That's a question we sometimes ask in life. Do I get a second chance? If one of the kids fails a test, a quiz, you might run to the teacher, "Can I have a second chance? I'll do better the next time." If you're driving home from church for some reason in a hurry and you run a red light and you're pulled over by a policeman, you might ask him or her, "Can I please have a second chance? I'm really sorry. Don't give me a ticket, a second chance. I won't do it again." If you're a basketball player and you miss the game-winning shot, "Will I ever get a second chance to make that game-winning shot? I sure hope so." Or on a more serious note, perhaps a broken relationship, a broken marriage, a breakup with children, a friend you have a bad relationship with, and you're wondering, "Will I ever get a second chance?" Our Old Testament reading today, Jonah 3, would teach us that our God is a God of second chances. Maybe the world out there will not give you a second chance, but our God gives a second chance, and for that matter, a third chance, a fourth chance, a fifth chance. He gives 70 times seven chances. It's called the forgiveness of our sins, and that's our God. In our Old Testament reading, you know the story of Jonah, I think. God gives a second chance to two people. He gives a second chance to Jonah, the rebellious, defiant prophet. "I'll give you a second chance, Jonah, to go tell." And then God gives a second chance to the Ninevites, this wicked, immoral city. He gives them another chance to turn in repentance and faith. God loves the individual, Jonah, every person. He loves the cities. He loves the nations. He loves the world. He would have all be saved. Behind all of this second chance stuff is the forgiveness of sins. Our God forgives, and our God forgives, and our God forgives. Say it with me. Our God forgives. Come on, louder. Our God forgives. First of all, God gives a second chance to Jonah to be a prophet and to tell the word to Nineveh. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise." I love that word. The first word to Jonah, after he rebelled, went the other way. "Arise, Jonah." It's a word for resurrection. It's a word for new life. It's an Easter word. Arise. You're unburdened, Jonah. I don't hold your sin against you. You're not shackled down by it anymore. You're not in that great fish's stomach anymore. Arise, you're free, you're forgiven, I love you. Now go and tell the word. I'm not going to hold your rebellion against you. I don't count it against you. Arise, child, don't be afraid anymore. Don't have guilt, don't be burdened. Arise and go tell. Amazing grace, amazing mercy. You know what Jonah did. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was to the east, basically. And so what did Jonah do? He didn't say, "Oh, wait a little while, God. I'll get to it, God." He just deliberately disobeyed God and went west, got into a boat on the Mediterranean Sea, and he fled. If you were God, what would you have done to Jonah? "Well, forget you, Jonah. I'll squish you like a bug, and I'll get a new prophet. Forget you, buddy. I gave you a job. I would have blessed you, but forget you. You're gone. I'll get another prophet." But God loves Jonah. And maybe you're a Jonah. we all are, deliberately disobeyed God and sinned and ran the other way like a lost sheep and always doing the wrong thing when I know what the right thing is. Jonah knew what to do. He's a Christian. He was a believer. Yet he deliberately, intentionally did the wrong thing and rebelled against the Word of God. And oh, how God loves Jonah. And the effort that God makes to save Jonah, the great effort for one man. Jonah's thrown off the boat, as you know the story, because there's a storm and Jonah knew he'd done wrong. Thrown off the boat. But then what? The effort God makes. God has a great fish swallow him. He's not dead, doesn't eat him. He just swallows him. And then on the third day, the great fish spits Jonah up on dry land and God says, arise and go again. The effort of God to save a human being. Just get rid of him, God. But no, God loves him. And the effort of God with Jonah is really a foreshadowing of the effort God's made for all of us to be saved. What God did in and through Jonah is what God does through his son. And that's the point of all of it. Oh, the effort, the work God goes to save us. Jonah was thrown off the boat. Jesus, God's son, was thrown out of Jerusalem on a cross. Jonah swallowed by a great fish. Jesus swallowed by death, swallowed by the tomb, swallowed by the hatred of mankind, swallowed by the hell itself, swallowed by the devil and the demon, swallowed up by evil. And Jesus actually did die. Jonah never died. Jonah on the third day came back on dry land. Jesus on the third day rises again. And his word goes out to all the Ninevites and all the pagans and unbelievers now in the church, doesn't it? Jonah foreshadows the work of God to save a lost sinner. God would die. God would rise to deliver us all. God forgives sins and has mercy and doesn't count them against us. Oh, the love of God for each one of us. So, you've rebelled. You've went the other way and you know it. God forgives. A second chance today. Because of Jesus. Jesus took your place. He took Jonah's place. He died for Jonah, rose again for Jonah. He took your place, died for you, rose again for you. A second chance today. Now arise in freedom. Arise in forgiveness. No more burdens. No more guilt. No more shame. Arise and go and obey God. And sin no more. You know, people were asked a survey and a question, if you could trade places with someone for a day, who would you trade places with? And surprise, surprise, someone said, I'd like to trade places with Bill Gates so I could make a difference in the world. Right. You want to trade places so you get rich? I'll trade places for maybe a minute with Bill Gates and I'll be rich. Another person said, I'd like to trade places with an eagle so I can have a bird's eye view of the world. Another person says, I'd like to trade places with my autistic child just to see the world through his eyes. Well, praise be to God that he actually did trade places with us. The Almighty Holy God trade places with you and I. God became man that we men and women, boys and girls might be like God. God in Christ took our sin that we have salvation. He took our pain and punishment that we have peace with God in paradise. He took our death that we have life. He took our hell that we have heaven. What amazing grace. A second chance for Jonah to go tell. A second chance for you to arise in forgiveness and go tell. And then there's also a second chance for the entire city of Nineveh. A wicked, unbelieving... Jonah's a believer who went astray and yet God finds the lost sheep and brings them back. The Ninevites are not believers. They are the pagan nation out there. They're the unbeliever and God gives a chance to turn and to believe and be saved. A little context on Nineveh. Anyone know Nineveh was the capital of what great nation? Anybody know? Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. That ought to ring a bell maybe in your mind. Assyria. Assyria was a powerful, wicked nation that was growing at this time. This time is about 750 BC, 750 years before Jesus. Assyria is a growing enemy nation. They're idolatrous, they're wicked, they're evil, they're cruel. Assyria is an enemy of Israel, an enemy of God's people. And a little bit later, Assyria will come down and attack God's people. Around 721 BC, they will attack and conquer the northern part of Israel and try to conquer Jerusalem. So they are a wicked enemy. When they conquered nations, they put noses in people's rings and put a chain to their nose to drag them off like they're an animal, like a pig. That's how cruel they were. Wicked, and they worshipped idols all over the place. And Nineveh is the capital. And oh, the love of God for Nineveh. Oh, the love of God for his enemies. God loves his enemies and would have them turn in repentance and be saved. He wants all to be saved. Men, up to us, God, just do a Sodom and Gomorrah. Fire and brimstone on Nineveh. They deserve it. Or bring about a little flood like you did in Noah's day. Just a little flood over Nineveh and wipe them out, God. That's not God. He sends his prophet. And oh, how God works. We read where it's a three-day journey to cover all of Nineveh. It's a big city in that day. And Jonah only goes one day. He covers a third of the city, perhaps. And he preaches that there's going to be destruction in 40 days. Notice God's patience. I'll give you 40 days to repent before I just zap you. That's the patience and love of God. And in one day, the entire city, from the greatest to the least, repents. Sackcloth, repentance. And they're sorry for their sins. This really illustrates the power of the Word of God. This is why we preach the Word of God and preach it and teach it. And you go out to your children, to your neighbors, and teach the Word of God. It works. Not always this quickly, but it works. And so we preach and teach that God would turn all hearts to himself by the power of his word, even through reluctant, scared Jonah, who's a Jew, and they're all Gentiles. How God can work. But a greater lesson, the power of God's word, is his amazing, amazing mercy. For after they repent, what does God do? God puts them on probation, doesn't he? Okay, you repented. Let's see you prove it for a while. I want you to clean up your life and get rid of your wickedness. If you clean up your life, get rid of your idols, and don't be so cruel to everybody, then maybe I'll forgive you down the road. You're just on probation for a little while. That's not God. He doesn't have them clean up their life because they're incapable of cleaning up their life. They're wicked and dead in sin. They can't do anything. God has no conditions. And God doesn't wait to forgive either. Then you and I, well, I'm just going to wait till the 39th day and let them stew in their juices. Let's see if they really keep repenting. It's only day one. I gave them 40 days. I'll just wait a little while and see if they're really serious. Maybe on the 39th day, maybe on the morning of the 40th day when they're scared to death, then I'll come and say, oh, I forgive you. God doesn't put it off. Immediately, we read at the end of the text, it's the greatest part of this Old Testament. It's one of the greatest verses of the Bible. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them and did not do it. And that's day one. I forgive you, Nineveh. No conditions. You didn't earn it. No probation. Nothing. I won't punish you. Where'd the punishment go? The punishment landed on Jesus. The hell landed on Jesus, who would die for them 80 years later. The punishment always, God doesn't just magically say, I won't do it. All that wrath and anger lands on Jesus at Calvary's cross. That's the power of the cross. The sin of Jonah, the sin of Nineveh, your sins, the sins of the whole world, past, present, future. It all landed on Jesus at the cross. And so God does not count sin against us. God relents of the disaster. God has mercy and forgives a second chance, a third chance, 70 times, seven times chances for the whole world, waiting for people to turn. And maybe you're not a Christian, or you're a very weak Christian. Repent. God forgives today. Washes it all away with the blood of his son. Repent. Lesson here. Never, ever think you're too good for God, that you're so good you'll make it by yourself, because you won't. You'll be in hell. But also, more applicable here, never think you're too bad for God. I've done such wretched things. God would never forgive me. I'm just horrible, wretched. He'll never forgive me. It's beyond grace. You're wrong. God forgives all sin. He stands ready. No one's outside of grace. No matter what you've done in your past, turn, repent, He forgives. You know, I read there's a fad in Japan going on right now. And in Japan, a lot of people are getting plastic surgery, I read. You know what they're getting plastic surgery on? The palms of their hands, men and women. Why? Well, they want plastic surgery on the palms of their hands to change the lines in their palms because they believe the lines in your palms determine your future. So they want to have lines in their palms, the men mainly, to have money. Give me lines in my palms that will show that I'm going to make money and be successful. And the women, interestingly, they want lines in their palms to have love. Give me lines in my palms that show I'm going to have love. And what does the church say to all that? It's foolishness. It's ridiculous. You want to know what's going to happen today? You want to know what's going to happen tomorrow and in your future? Don't look at the lines in your palms. Look in the palms of Jesus Christ. In the palms of Jesus Christ are nails. On His head a crown of thorns. In His feet are nails. In His sides a sword. Jesus died for us, so today God forgives. That's what's going to happen. Tomorrow, God will forgive. That's what's going to happen. And God will forgive me and forgive me my sins as I turn and repent. And I'm going to be in heaven. That's my future. I'm going to be in glory, in paradise, forever and ever. Jesus, by His death and resurrection, His palms, His hands, determines who I am and what's going to happen. Japan needs a Jonah. Maybe you'll be a Jonah to Japan. My sister went there years ago. Maybe one of the kids will be a missionary to Japan or somewhere. Someone said, fear is the lock and laughter the key to your heart. Isn't that sweet? Fear is the lock and laughter the key to your heart. Really. So if my heart's closed off, I'm doubting, I'm cold, I'm angry, I'm depressed. What's going to open my heart is to laugh a little bit, right? Baloney. This text shows us what opens our heart. It's not laughter. It's called love. The love of God and Jesus Christ. God's love opens the heart of Jonah. He's free. He goes and tells. God's love and mercy opens the hearts of the Ninevites. And they are free and they repent and they worship God. May God's love open your heart today and fill you with peace and joy in the forgiveness of your sins. Maybe you don't get a second chance out there, friend. You get a second chance in here. Our God's a God of second chances. Hallelujah. Say with me. Hallelujah. One more time. Hallelujah. Let's stand and confess our faith.